The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, SEBGORKA.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
We've waited long enough. Let's get back to work. It's the Great American Comeback with Trish Regan.
About money, money, money. It's about jobs, jobs, jobs as well. And we're going to discuss the latest news with our new regular guest, Trish Regan. Let's play the video from just a few hours ago from the President of the United States. Eric, play video.
In June, we added 2.1 million leisure and hospitality jobs, 740,000 retail jobs, 568,000 education and healthcare jobs, 357,000 service jobs. These are all historic numbers. And 356,000 manufacturing jobs. And manufacturing looks like it's ready to really take off at a level that it's never been before. And a lot of that has to do with our trade policy, because we're bringing manufacturing back to our country.
Trish, did anybody expect the results we got today? Talk to us about what we have heard just a few moments ago from the president.
You know, I was glad to see him out there. He needed to do that victory lap because people need a little good news right now, right, Seb?
Yes.
I mean, almost 5 million jobs that were added. This is really incredible. And you know what it tells you? The recovery is underway. We are going to emerge from this intact. It's almost like, you know, you think about the Europeans, they like go away for the summer, they shut down for 3 months, and then miraculously their economy just boom, picks up right where it started. I mean, we're not right where we started, but we're getting there. And I could not be happier to see this news. Again, I was surprised that it was as big as it was. We got the ADP report just yesterday, which indicated it was going to be good, but this good? I mean, this really blew people away. And now we're at 11.1% unemployment. That's, you know, it's still up there, but heck, it sure beats what we were at. And I think we'll continue moving down. And people should take a lot of heart in this right now. This is a comeback.
So it's not just the millions of jobs created. One of the little half a sentences that people missed today. Trish, 80% of small businesses are open again. That's phenomenal.
It's great. It's great. And you know what? Let's not shut them down again, okay?
Right.
I mean, I think that it's fair to say part of this is up to the individual, and it's up to the individual business owner, and it's up to the individual that chooses to shop in a particular store, to go out to eat. And if you're comfortable with it, go for it. If you're not comfortable, if you're in that age category or in that position that makes you very much at risk, then you make that decision as an individual. But we can't have some kind of mandate, right, where we say everything is shutting down. I mean, I hate to go here, but it's just the reality of the world in which we live right now, Seb. Everything has become extremely political, and there's a politicization, if you would, of all of this, even when it comes to wearing or not wearing a mask. And so there's a lot of pressure, I think, you know, on local government, state and local municipalities to really enforce another kind of shutdown. And I just fundamentally believe in the power of the individual when it comes to something like this, that the individual needs to be trusted and they can make the right decision for themselves.
She is your favorite expert on all things market and the economy. She can even say politicization. Follow her right now, Trish underscore Regan. You did it, guys. I asked you to, and you did it. You showed the love. She's busted through 700,000 followers on Twitter.
You have wonderful listeners.
It's about the listeners. Follow her right now if you haven't already. Trish underscore Regan on Twitter. Let's stay on this issue of politicization. So it's disturbing to me that this week alone, we've seen mainstream legacy media reporting targeting those governors, targeting those states, Trish, that have reopened with a uniform, almost propagandist talking point that, oh my gosh, in this county of Florida, or in this county, or this part of Texas, we've seen a spike in cases. Trish, you're going to see more positive cases of the Chinese virus when we are the nation who have tested more of our population than any other in the world. And there's a big difference, is there not, between a positive case for someone who may not even have symptoms and somebody who is a fatality of the virus.
For sure. No, absolutely, for sure. And what I take heart in, Seb, is looking at that graph, right, where you see that the fatalities are declining significantly. Now, yes. Fingers crossed that that holds. But what that's telling you is that the people that are not going to actually die from it and are participating in the economy again may get exposed. But again, back to the individual, they're making a decision. If I'm 25 years old, totally healthy, and I choose to go out and hang out with my friends and I wind up with it, yes, I'm then categorized as someone who is contributing to that escalating rate, but I'm not someone who's at risk of dying from it. So again, individuals making individual decisions. You know, one of the things that really gets me about the mainstream media is they talk about how the U.S. has the highest rates in the world. And they don't actually account for population, because on a per capita basis, I mean, we're looking a heck of a lot better than Italy, let's be clear. And when it comes to this right now, they talk about escalating rates of positive tests, but they don't actually look at who's being hospitalized or who's actually dying from this. And so fingers crossed, I mean, right now we are on the right trajectory for sure.
You're the expert, Trish. When it comes to economies, I like stuff I can touch, I can hold. I like manufacturing. I like industry. The stock market to me is voodoo. It's some kind of weird magic. Nevertheless, despite irrational, not exuberance, but irrational skittishness of late, how significant is it to you as somebody who knows the levers of the market that I think we have the highest quarter growth in the NASDAQ right now, the highest since 1999, and that the Dow has already hit 26,000. What does that presage for the future?
It tells you, in the markets, always trying to anticipate what life is going to look like 6 to 9 months out. It tells you that investors are bullish on the future. They are bullish on America. They are bullish on our economy. And they expect that we will get through this unscathed. So you saw a lot of panic in the beginning, yeah. A lot of panic and a lot of volatility that's still there. But the reality is the numbers are showing that people fundamentally believe in the United States of America and capitalism and the growth that will continue to come, even though there's not a lot of clarity. Let's be clear. I mean, 40% of the S&P companies, right? They're not even telling us what their earnings are going to be. They don't have the clarity right now. But I think instinctively, investors feel like, don't bet against the United States. We will get through this.
Philosophically, how important is that you can call it the spiritual aspect? How important is the morale aspect of the people believing in brand America? That's not just a slogan. That can have concrete economic consequences, can't it?
Sure. I mean, you may have heard me tell you this before. One of the things that used to frustrate me tremendously about President Obama, well, many things, but one of the things that bugged me was we'd get a good jobs report, Seb, and the guy wouldn't say boo. Or maybe he'd come out and say, well, it's okay, but we can do better. And it was always sort of glass half empty. Listen, as the president of the United States, it is critical. And you could learn this from Ronald Reagan. and you see it today in Donald Trump coming out and praising America for this growth. You need to be the cheerleader on the sidelines, praising America when good things happen. And so I think that kind of optimism, that belief in all of us is critical. You need to believe in your country and the power of its economy if you want it to grow.
On her bio, it says freedom of speech advocate, wife, mother, proud capitalist, truth, even when some don't want to hear it. I like that motto. Live free or die. Follow her right now. Trish_Regan, R-E-G-A-N. Thank you, Trish. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist of President Donald J. Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. I know you've had enough. I know you want to get out of the house. I know you want to travel again. Join me for the trip of a lifetime this December for the Stand With Israel 2020 tour. We're going with Mike Lindell. You know the guy who's hiding out in your bathroom cabinet. The inventor of my pillow will be joining us. We're going to go to Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, the fort of Masada, the Sea of Galilee, where our Lord walked the earth. Won't you join us? Go right now to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. That's sebgorka.com. And click on the Stand With Israel 2020 tour to reserve your place on a trip of the lifetime this December. Back with your calls on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Still up on the show, Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, Mark Morgan, Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation, and the most important part of the show, you. America First, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, available on Instagram TV. We just bust 10 million views on YouTube. Thanks, everybody. If you haven't done so already, subscribe. It's free. America First, Sebastian Gorka, YouTube. Subscribe, hit the notifications bell, and you won't miss a thing.
Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good job. How's
President.
Your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
I heard good.
Thank you, Mr. President. Breaking news. Federal law enforcement officials today arrested a man in Washington they call the ringleader in the attempt to destroy the Andrew Jackson statue in Lafayette Square by the White House. Law enforcement sources told Fox News that Jason Charter was arrested at his residence Thursday morning without incident and charged with destruction of federal property. Isn't that what the president said gets you an automatic 10 years? Oh, dear Mr. Charter. He was arrested by the FBI and the U.S. Park Police as part of a joint task force. Sources add that Charter has connections to Antifa and was in a leadership role on the night of June 22nd when a large group of protesters tried to pull down the Jackson statue. Federal law enforcement officials stated they were very organized. Charter was on the top of the statue and directing people. They had acid, chisels, straps, and a human chain preventing police from getting to the statue. Now, he's in jail. Where does this end? How seriously do we take it? Is it just about statues? We're going to go to your calls in a moment. Kim, Judy, don't go anywhere. But let's listen for a moment to the father of the young man who was murdered in Seattle in the CHOP zone. This is Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr. Eric, play video.
Somebody should help my son. He needed help. He needed paramedics. He needed the police to come in. Somebody was supposed to go in there and help my son. You know.
Can I play you something, sir?
Just anybody helping him. They should have came in there and helped my son. And even after that, still I need to. Man, let me know. I shouldn't know from some little kids. I should have somebody, I'm 50 years old. Somebody should have knocked on my door and said, man, we need to sit down and talk to you and let you know what's going on. Because I still don't know what's going on. I'm hearing from YouTube and I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. All I know is my son's dead and I don't know nothing. And I'm still trying to figure out answers so I can sleep. I don't sleep. You know, my kids don't sleep.
God bless that young man's soul. That's the price of their anarchy. Let's take your calls. We are here on 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A, 833-334-6752. Kim has been waiting very patiently in Indiana. Line 2, welcome, Kim.
Hello, Dr. Gorka. How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing splendidly, my friend.
Well, good, good. Before I get to my story, when I was 13, I was in Washington, D.C. on December 7th, 2019. What a remarkable city. I love the statues. I love the history. And I actually got to see our president's helo go back and forth to the White House.
Oh, that must have been exciting. Marine one.
It was funny.
When we worked in the White House, there was a smell. It pervaded the whole West Wing of aviation fuel. As soon as Marine One was coming in or warming up to take the president, the whole building stank of kerosene. It was part of the perks, I guess, the negative perks of working in the White House. What brings you to our show today, Kim?
Well, besides to say hi, when I was 13, well, let me start again. From 1974 to 1976, my dad was stationed in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, Gitmo, for those of us who live there.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be able to go on
flight. Was he a Marine? Was he civilian?
No, he was a DOD. Okay. He was an accountant, so he worked for our military. So that was his job. He was a GS-12 when he retired.
Carry on.
Okay, I'm carrying on. Sorry, sir. So we used to have to go to Puerto Rico every 6 months because I had braces. And then we went to Jamaica with the Navy one time. We got to go on the USS Truckee. And then also we could do day trips to Haiti. Well, my mother and father took my brother and I when I was 13 and he was 11. And that's when I realized how lucky I am to be born in the United States and be a United States citizen.
Because of what you saw in Haiti.
Exactly, because of what I saw in Haiti. When we landed in Haiti in Port-au-Prince, at the time, Baby Doc was the dictator of the people. And we were greeted from the Navy plane with guards pointing their M16s at us, not outward the gate, but at us. That's something for a 13-year-old to see. And that happened in Puerto Rico quite frequently also. But in Haiti, they had to have a driver that was sanctioned by the government that spoke English and patois. And so he was our translator. And so he was our guard also. So he had to protect us as well as drive us around for the day. And I saw, and this is the good parts of Port-au-Prince that I saw, but still there's a lot of poverty. Children barely had clothes on. They had long shirts down to their knees. So you didn't have to worry about other issues. And then I saw people on the side of the road breaking rocks to make smaller rocks to fill in holes. And then at the tin market, I was kidnapped. My parents were looking at some items, and this man grabbed me and took off with me. I was a little bitty 13-year-old. I barely weighed a bag of feed, maybe 50 pounds. And all he thought was I was a rich American kid, and he brought me to his booth and was trying to sell me these items, and I'm sitting there crying.
What happened? And what happened, Kim?
My parents and our driver with my brother in tow found me, and the driver just ripped him a new one, and I understood a little bit of it, but not much. But I mean,
So tell me, what is your message to these people who are chanting on the streets, defund the police and America is evil? What's your message to them, Kim?
Well, also as a Navy veteran, I say, get your big boy pants on. If you don't like our country, move your stuff to Afghanistan and experience what goes on over there. Then maybe you'll appreciate what we have in the United States. Maybe.
Yeah.
And if you don't, stay there.
That's a wonderful, wonderful message. God bless you. Thank you for your service. Will you stay on the line, Kim? I'd like to give you a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. Will you do that?
Thank you so much. Yes, I will. Thank you. You have a wonderful 4th of July weekend, you and everybody.
You too. You and your family. Yes, indeed. This is, I was thinking also about this as I was preparing for the show, how much of what we are seeing on the streets of America would just disappear, would be solved, if we took that generation, the people who are marching for justice and peace, who say that America is the problem, if we just drop them in Venezuela, if we just drop them in Somalia, or as you heard from Kim, in Afghanistan, there's one statement of fact that cannot be denied. Whatever your skin color, whatever your gender, whatever your class, this remains the freest nation on God's earth. Be a woman in Saudi Arabia, be a gay man in Iran, be any kind of person in Somalia or Haiti, then get back to me. If you're on a mission, go abroad. Solve those things. Shut down the slave markets in Africa. Then get back to me. In the meantime, we love America. The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump wants to meet you. This will be the first opportunity he's had to meet with American patriots like you since our country started reopening. His team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP access for yourself and a guest. He'll even take a picture with you. All you have to do is text VIP to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump. Again, that's VIP to 88022 to enter to win this contest and to join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for four more years. Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I'm a happy puppy. Why? I've got a brand new challenge coin just given to me. By the way, New York Times, they're called challenge coins, not medals. That reporter who said, why does the president have medals on his desk in the Oval Office? Get a life. Really. I mean, go to school or just open a book, would you? We are in studio with none other than Mark Morgan. I'm going to read his official title. Senior official performing the duties of the Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And he's just given me a very, very handsome CBP DHS challenge coin. Commissioner, welcome back to our studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We could discuss the breaking news, unbelievable stories related to your job, your team, the border, this phrase forced labor, counterfeits in connection to the Chinese virus, the coronavirus. But first things first, can you really do the big picture strategy thing for us as the man who's responsible for keeping us safe at the border? Why is the border so much more than just immigration or illegal immigration?
Yeah, Sebastian, I first of all, I appreciate the question. And that's part of the challenge out there. There's just not enough time to really educate the American people on the vast, complex, challenging kind of mission set that CBP has. It's much more than immigration. We get so riddled with that all CBP does is immigration.
Right.
And that's a small part of actually what our mission set is. Let's take about our fight against the transnational criminal organizations, the smugglers, to stop the drugs from pouring in the country that killed 68,000 Americans last year.
More than the Vietnam War. Let's be clear here. That's
right. Absolutely right. That's a great analogy. We talk about counterterrorism. I mean, every single day we're on the front lines of fighting counterterrorism to make sure those bad actors aren't entering our country. That's a challenging, complex mission set that the entire country is involved in. CBP is on the front lines of that. And then we go from the simple stuff about other criminals. I mean, we're stopping rapists and pedophiles and sex offenders every single day from coming into our country through our borders. And then lastly, a little thing called legal trade and travel. That's huge. Last year alone, we processed 414 million passengers. 414.
Wow.
That's more than
the population.
Exactly. More than a million a day coming to this country. That really goes to the heart of our economic growth and prosperity.
So your team at Customs and Border Protection, You're doing counterterrorism. You're doing anti-drugs. You're saving, you're stopping pedophile sex offenders, and then this incredible trade that's coming across the border. Can you just illuminate for us how serious, let's take the one that everybody should be able to agree on, the sexual abuse of the trafficking issue. How real is this on the border?
It's absolutely real, Sebastian. And it's something that I can't get my hands around when we have this argument about what we're doing. The most humane, compassionate thing we can do is secure our borders.
Yeah.
Because the only people to win are the smugglers. I've said for a very long time is that once somebody makes it across our borders illegally, their exploitation is just beginning.
Yes.
In most cases. Their exploitation doesn't end when they make it to our borders. That's the sad part. And I just don't understand why people can't be united behind that.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw, former SEAL, said it on this show, and I'm just going to repeat it so people understand what Commissioner Morgan is talking about. A girl was smuggled across the border age 13. She reached the age of maturity, age 18. She went to find Congressman Crenshaw, and she said, please help the other girls like me. She was smuggled across the border, age 13, ended up, she was promised, you know, the land of milk and honey and work and
absolutely.
What have you, ends up in a locked room in New York being raped by multiple men every single day. That's not an unusual story, is it?
It's not an unusual story. And let me give you a quick statistic. Last year alone, when we had over a million people try to illegally in this country, we probably had about 150 to 200,000 that got across illegally. So think about that.
Yeah.
Those are the ones, the individuals, the smugglers are getting across that end up in that scenario that you just described. That is not an unusual situation. And we should all be united to do everything we can to stop that. And it's unconscionable to me that people are not united behind that.
Take the politics out of this, people. It's not right. about politics. It's about national security. It's about the health of our nation. It's about protecting women and children. If you want to do all of that, if you have a heart, if you have a soul, let's build the wall, let's support the president, and let's support Mark Morgan and his team. Follow him right now, CBP, that's Customs and Border Protection, CBP Mark Morgan, and you can also follow his team at CBP on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Mark will be staying with us in the meantime. If you are in pain today, and you're looking for a solution and everything else has failed you, please take a moment and just listen to the stories of those individuals, tens of thousands of them across the nation, who are taking Relief Factor right now. Debron in Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling now. Thank you, Relief Factor. Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next success story? It's so very, very simple. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack right now. It costs $19.95. That works out to less than a dollar a day. Take it morning and evening, as do I, and I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of the 3 weeks, you will know if Relief Factor works for you like it works for me, Debron, and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. As the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? You deserve to find out if you could be the next Relief Factor success story. Don't wait. Do it now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with Commissioner Morgan after these messages.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Did you sleep well last night? If you didn't, I got a little trick for you. It's called My Pillow, Mike Lindell. You know the guy who's hiding in your bathroom cabinet? He sold 45 million My Pillows. The president uses them. I rest my head on them every night. They're amazing. And because you're listening to my show, Mike's going to give you up to 50% off all of his incredible products if you use my name. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468. Promo code Gorka, G-O-R-K-A. We are back with the senior official performing the duties of the Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. You must have a very long business card, Mark. It must be super long. I just call him the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. Follow him right now, CBP Mark Morgan. And you can tell, can't you tell? He's a former Marine. Of course you can.
Hoorah.
Mark, talk to us about, there's so much fake, we are swimming in fake news. We need to focus on the amazing things that have happened, are happening to secure this nation, that are connected to the last 4 or 5 months of the Chinese virus, COVID, coronavirus. Explain to our listeners, millions of listeners across the country, live on YouTube, on Facebook, what is the significance of the president declaring a national emergency and then this thing from CDC called Title 42?
So it's absolutely been a game changer, Sebastian. And what we have is, I think everybody understands the travel restrictions from China and the Schengen countries and et cetera. But we were monitoring. And so what we did was we said, hey, we have the same issue at our land borders, especially those that are illegally entering. If you remember last year, over 1 million tried to illegal enter. In 1 month back last May, 144,000 in 1 month.
So let me just repeat that. One month. 144,000. 1,000 people trying to illegally cross our border.
Unbelievable, record setting. And so what we did was we got together from day one, we worked with CDC and Title 42. And this is important. This is not an immigration enforcement a law and regulation. This is a public health.
Public health, right.
Big difference. So what we're talking about is not immigration enforcement, but it really is public health.
What did it let you do differently?
So what it led us to do differently is those that are trying to illegally enter the country, in between the ports of entry, we can encounter them and hold them on the line, process them, and return them immediately back to Mexico. 96% of those that are amenable to that Title 42, we're returning them in under 2 hours, 96%.
As opposed to before COVID, what did you have to do?
We had to allow them into our system, take them into our facilities, which are open-air facilities.
Right.
They're not designed for public health, for a COVID outbreak. Again, last year, I go back, can you imagine? We had 20,000 individuals in our custody. Can you imagine if you would have introduced just one COVID patient
into that?
It would have been catastrophic. Today, guess how many we have in custody? About 150 today.
Total,
we average per day, 150,
okay.
200, last year, 20,000.
So your life, your job, the capacity of all the guys and gals at CBP to execute mission has radically changed because of what the president did and what came down from CDC. What happens if CDC or the president declares we beat COVID and there's no longer a national emergency? What happens to your mission?
We go back to where we were, we have been, and that is Congress has failed this country. And we started off by saying what the totality of the threats are of this country. It's not just about immigration, but Congress needs to pass meaningful legislation to address this crisis and this threat. They failed to do so. They failed the American people. We still need Congress to do their job. And so what I'm afraid of, COVID, it's not just America that's having economic challenges because of COVID. It's Mexico. It's the Western Hemisphere. So what I'm concerned about is once we get on the other side of COVID, if Title 42 goes away, we're going to see another surge of economic migrants because the facts are, no political statement. The facts are the majority of people illegal trying to enter this country are for economic purposes.
So the spigot gets turned back on. Shut down Title 42, if we declare COVID's under control, you're going to see this economic wave again. Because let's be clear here. There's a couple of things about asylum seekers. My parents were refugees. Let me be clear. This is personal to me. They escaped a dictatorship. My father was a political prisoner in a communist nation. So if you are seeking asylum, there are concrete conditions about you. You have to be somebody who's being hunted or persecuted for religious beliefs, political beliefs, number one. You can't just be interested in getting a better job. And then secondly, if you're not coming from Mexico, if you're coming from a third, fourth country, is it not correct that by international law, the first safe place you land, once you've left your country, the first place you get to, that's where you should be applying for asylum. Am I right, Mark?
You're absolutely right. And I'll go, Sebastian, like your father, for example, he would have qualified under asylum.
Right.
So obviously, that's what we're saying. What you just said was a non-political, factual-based statement. And if Congress doesn't like our current asylum laws, change them.
Right. And then I'll you can't change too. It.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not a legislator. The president's exactly not a legislator. Right. It's up to Congress. And let's be clear here, Mark. Given what you've experienced, sorry, Commissioner, in the last few months, this is fixable.
It is. Title 42 is a great example. When we have the right laws in place, we can address the crisis. So Title 42, CDC has the authority that they delegated to us, and it enabled us to address the crisis. Congress needs to do the same thing on the immigration enforcement side. Again, it's not just trying to stop people looking for a better life, right? It's trying to stop the drugs, the criminals, the rapists, the murderers. That is not hyperbole. That's fact.
So you could, let's say this, the powers, the tools that were given to you because we had a pandemic situation, those, if Congress wanted to make us safe, could be translated into new legislation.
Absolutely, hands down. And I want to make a point real quick is that we were better positioned to handle the pandemic because of this president and this administration. Look, I've been doing this, serving this country for 30 years. This is not a political statement. It's fact. 10 months prior to COVID, because of the president administration, he gave us a network of tools and policies that set us up. The crisis had been reduced by 75% of the illegal flow before COVID hit. That really allowed us better to handle COVID.
Does the president like you guys when he goes and visits the border?
So here's what's absolutely, it's very genuine, very heartfelt. I've been with the president several times, and this is a man who generally loves law enforcement and the military. I was at IACP where he was speaking to probably 10,000 cops, and he actually said, first president I ever heard say, I love you guys. And
I've seen
it was genuine.
I've seen it. When he got off Air Force One, no press, no nothing, he'd walk off the stairs and he'd go to every single local police outrider, shake their hands and say thank you. That's not for the press because they're not there. That's because he loves our Leos, whether they're wearing green for CBP or whether they're wearing blue. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We will be back with Commissioner Morgan in a moment. Follow him right now. CBP, Mark Morgan. Friends, do you own a cell phone? I think you probably do. If you're with one of the big companies, guess what? They take a portion of your bill every month and they spend it on Democrat candidates, on Planned Parenthood, on gun control organizations. Don't let them use your money. Join the only Christian conservative cell phone company. It is Patriot Mobile and they are on your side. You can keep your old phone, your old number, get a new phone. Right now they're having a Let Freedom Ring special until July 11th. Go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Promo code FREEDOM. You can call them on 972-PATRIOT. Get a free phone, a free month, or free activation plus other discounts. They have a dependable nationwide 4G LTE network. They're on your side. They support the causes you care about. Join today. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA or call 972-PATRIOTS.
America First, magnificent.
Follow this man right now on Twitter, CBP Mark Morgan. He's got a tweet from just before he came to the studio. Commissioner Morgan said, Border Patrol agents continue to arrest sex offenders illegally crossing the border. This is why borders matter. With open borders, criminals like this make it to every city where they could harm again. Tools like the border wall system assist CBP in protecting us from these predators. God bless every single one of your team Absolutely. That are keeping us safe. And Mark, talk to us in the last few minutes here in America First. This incredible story of how things have come together thanks to the president, CDC, you guys on the border. How's the morale of the people who have been accused of outrageous things in the past? Is it better?
Well, it is. And here there's a couple of different avenues of that. One is, as we just talked about when you talked about the president who loves law enforcement, when you wake up and you pin that badge on your chest or you go to work with the non-uniform personnel CBP, they know that they have the president of the United States, that supports them, has their back. They're giving them the tools, like the wall. This isn't the president's vanity wall. That's the Border Patrol's wall that they ask for, that the president is delivering.
So you guys like it when that ball, when the, those parts of the wall go up, right?
Absolutely. Every new mile, the wall system absolutely increases their operational capacity. And it also makes it safer for the Border Patrol agents themselves. And so on that aspect, and I like to think they have they know CBP leadership supports them as well. So that aspect, morale is absolutely in a good spot. But they're human beings at the same time. So COVID, they're concerned about that.
Sure.
They're concerned about their own lives, their families. They kiss their families goodbye every morning like the rest of us. But guess what? You know, 90% of the workforce is CBP. They don't get to telework it in. They
got
to
get up
every day.
You got to be
back
there
on the chest, out in the front, risking lives. That's a challenge. So that's in the back of their mind as well. But here's what's great. They're honorable. I call them heroes because even though there's a risk for them, they're still getting up every day doing their job.
How has it affected you? In any way, has it affected you that you're having marches on the streets saying that the police and law enforcement are illegal or racist, have to be defunded? Does that affect you guys as well?
It does. It does. And here's what I could say. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've served in 5 different law enforcement organizations. And it hurts. It does. Because I know the character of the men and women in law enforcement. I know the character of CBP. I know what's in their heart. I know what gets them up every single day, and that's to be a part of something greater than themselves, to protect the American people. And I can tell your listeners right now, there is no such thing as systemic racism in law enforcement. I know these men and women. I know their character, and they're honorable people, and that's a false narrative.
Will you do me a favor, guys? We've got millions of listeners. We just bust. I just heard from Eric, 11 million views on YouTube. Why don't you send these guys and gals a little message? Go to Twitter, go to Facebook, tag CBP Mark Morgan, tag at CBP. Just send a little message of appreciation, because guess what? Local cops are important. God bless them all. But these guys are on the border. Terrorists, drug smugglers, human traffickers. Send them some love. God bless you, Commissioner. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump. Back with your calls and Heritage Foundation's Jim Carafano. Don't touch that dial. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.